The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
While the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two boats there alongside the lake. The fishermen had disembarked and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, he asked him to put out a short distance from the shore. There, he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch." Simon said in reply, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have caught nothing, but at your command I will lower the nets." When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so that the boats were in danger of sinking. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees of Jesus and said, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For astonishment, the catch of fish they had made seized him and all those with him. And likewise, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." When they brought their boats to the shore, they left everything and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. We've been hearing about wisdom, haven't we, the past few days? The wisdom of God. How the wisdom of God shames the wisdom of the world. And what is the wisdom of the world? And we know it well, this endless pursuit of the things of the world. We don't have to repeat that ad nauseum. We know what that is well. There's a beautiful thing when we start incorporating a regular, steady prayer life. Something begins to happen. It's almost like mining. We start delving to the depths of this wisdom. You know, we just started our faith formation program, and pray for our catechists and all our volunteers. It's going to be long, hard, glorious work this year. We have over 350 kids, praise God. And we bring in the parents a couple times a month, and we try to teach the parents what's called Lectio Divina, divine reading in Latin, where we're just meditating on a scripture, trying to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. To tap into this wisdom. The current saint we remember today is an example of once we catch wind of this wisdom. Saint Pope Gregory the Great. He was the successor of Peter around the 6th century. And what's remarkable about Pope Gregory the Great is that we begin to see the papacy in its maturing form. Pope Gregory was a Benedictine monk. His monastery in Rome still exists today. I can give you an idea visually. It sits probably between the Palatine Hill, where the Roman emperors were, and then to the Rome Colosseum. So if you want to, you can walk it, so it's not that far, but it sits in between these two massive structures. And Pope Gregory the Great was sadly called to the papacy. He didn't want to be a pope. He didn't want to be, because he knew what that curtailed. And because once you're a pope, he had to take care now of the city of Rome. The Roman Empire had just collapsed, so there's Roman bands of barbarians in the Italian countryside. He has to deal with kings and chiefs, the internal machinations of politics, that world. And we have a letter from him, and he's just complaining. Just the weight of the papacy upon him. And he says, "I just want to go back to my monastery. And I can sit in quiet and just pray and pray and meditate upon the wisdom of God. I just want to pray." But then, no, he has to get up and I have to deal with the politics of the age. But what's amazing, when we start tapping to the wisdom of God, just as we hear Peter here, listen to the voice of the Lord, when we're in that rhythm of prayer, the Holy Spirit will speak to us, and then we'll act. One of the most powerful, historically changing events, and I'll leave with this final story of Pope Gregory the Great. Again, here's this man, holy pope. Even though he's working hard, he's still listening to the Lord as best he can. He's walking through the marketplace in Rome. He sees blonde hair, fair skin, blue-eyed slaves in the market. They look different than Italians. And he says, where are they from? He asks his aide. He says, oh, these are Anglo-Saxons from England. But why are they England? Because remember, at this time period, Roman Empire has collapsed, and so they lost communication with the farther reaches of the empire. And he says, oh, the Anglo-Saxons. At that moment, he felt the Holy Spirit say, send missionaries to the Anglo-Saxons. And so a group of 40 monks headed by Augustine, a monk named Augustine, with a papal letter so they can walk from Rome all the way to England, because that's a long way. So he had a letter saying, no, so whatever kingdom they would walk through, says, give us permission and support us on our mission. So we have a letter from the Pope. Boom. And they walked all the way from Rome to England, land on the shores of Canterbury. And there they would begin the mission. The Anglo-Saxons eventually would become who? The English. And they would convert the English to Catholicism. And for the next 1,000 years, they would build up English Catholicism. And they would be, again, would lead us eventually to the United States. Do you see how the domino effect, boom, 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 all because this holy monk had a prayer life, loved Jesus, and wanted to love this wisdom.